Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli. In this life-changing message, your life will never remain the same again. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
I'm greeted and say happy new month this morning. Prophesy into that person's life this month, no more barrenness. This month, no more barrenness. This month, you shall be fruitful. You will multiply. You will fulfill the earth. You will fill the earth. You in the name of Jesus. All right, God bless us. I want to welcome us to God's presence this morning. We don't have much time, so I will just see how far we can go this morning. Succeeding with success. That is the topic I'm going to be sharing this morning. Succeeding with success. And don't forget that, you know, sometimes our messages look like motivation. But beyond motivation, there is a spiritual dimension to what it is that we are sharing. So if we are sharing succeeding with success, it doesn't mean that number one, God wants you to be successful, because success is your heritage in Christ. The number two, God wants to perpetuate our success or our successes. So that's what I want you to understand. And alright, so we're looking at succeeding with success. Succeeding with success. Succeeding with success. Actually, it's more like a part two or part three of the teaching that we had when we spoke about habits of highly successful people. So it's more like a continuation of that sharing. Habits of highly successful people. But this morning, we are looking at it in this light. We are looking at it in this light, succeeding with success. How you can perpetuate the doings of God in your life. How you can what? Perpetuate the doings of God in your life. I know some of us have heard of people that rose and came down. Am I correct? Am I correct? They rose and they what? They came down. Somebody was saying yesterday where I went to have my hair cut. There are some discussion I don't join myself in, but so he was saying that no matter how sweet something is, he said no matter how sweet something is, he said it will most times have some badness, or it will turn sour one day. Of course, these are unbelievers talking, so and I don't have the luxury of time to start explaining. I just kept quiet. I was looking at them. He said, no matter how sweet something is, he said it will turn bad one day. Alright? No matter how sweet something is, that's what that person said. I'm not saying that is what the word of God says. So they were saying that in respect of wealth or money, that if somebody has money and is living in wealth, that whether he likes it or not, one day the whole thing will come down. So what kind of theology is that one? They were trying to say that people should remember their friends when they are in wealth today, because tomorrow the wealth will not always be there. Now that looks like a sensible proposition. But that is not scriptural. Not everything that is sensible is scriptural. In fact, the Bible does not make sense. It makes faith in our hearts. The Bible does not make what? Sense. It makes faith. So some things are not, it's not sense. It's not sensible. All right. So the sensibility of man tells those people that, of course, they have seen it happen over and over again to so many people. So that's why they say what they are saying. When Chief M.K. Abiola was alive, one of the proud statements he made in those days was that he's so wealthy that even when demons of poverty, that they call Agbano in Yoruba language, when he enters his wealth, he said that demon will only eat as much as it can eat, and it will live, and the wealth will still continue. Can you imagine somebody who does not know God, who is bragging like that? And except when I reminded you now, some of you did not even know that there used to be one Abiola in this country. I don't know when last you remember him. Maybe June 12th. Amen. I said amen. But how many of you remembered him 2 weeks ago? Maybe you are just remembering him today because I talked about him. That is how temporal earthly success can be. And you know, in his days, it's just like somebody telling you that Dangote in the next 25 years will be nowhere to be found. You may not believe it. Because it's looking like that now. That, wow, this guy. Alright, so that was the brag or the pride that Abiola exuded when he was alive. Alright. Even though people said he was a philanthropist, he did good. It's not about doing good, it's about standing on the sure foundation of God's word. Doing good is not enough to perpetuate your wealth. It is marrying yourself to the word of God and to the kingdom that makes your wealth to be perpetuated. You know, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 14 says, whatsoever God does shall be forever. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 14, it says, whatsoever the Lord doeth or does shall be forever. And that's the only thing we can guarantee, that it can be forever or it will be forever. Whatever you do by your efforts, there's no guarantee that it will be forever. What is the burden behind this teaching? The burden behind this teaching is that God wants us to make progress in success. So I'll be teaching you how to get that done. God wants us to do what? To make progress in success. We must not be a success of yesterday. We must not say that I remember when I used to be. I pray that you will not be an I used to be in Jesus' name. I said my prayer is that you will not be an I used to be in Jesus' name. That was what Job said in Job 29. Job began to recount the good old days. For us in the kingdom, there is nothing like the good old days. For us in the kingdom, better days are ahead. Say, better days are ahead. So in case you are a child of God, you are remembering the good old days. Something is wrong somewhere. I remember the good old days. That was what Job was saying in Job 29. He said, as I was in the days of my youth, he said, when the secret of the Lord was upon my tabernacle, he said, when the Almighty was still with me, when I put my foot in butter and in all of that, he began to mention, you know, those exploits that he did. And God does not want that to be our testimony as God's people. That I remember those days when I still used to, do well in my business. I remember those days when I used to do well in ministry. I remember those days when I used to do well in my academics. In my 100 level, I have 4.8, 200 level, 4.9. But this one that I'm in part 4, part 5, now I'm struggling to have 1.2. I remember. May that not be our portion. So even though it may look sensible to the people of the world that, like those people said yesterday, that no matter how sweet something is, it will always turn bad. That is not the word of God. Remember John chapter 2. When Jesus stepped into the marriage at Cana of Galilee, the Bible said he caused their latter end to be better than their previous or their former. Am I correct? The Bible said when he turned the water into wine, the people, they exclaimed or they confessed He said, they said to the master of ceremony, they said, you have reserved the best for the last. Is that not what the scripture said? He said, you have what? He said, every man brings out the good wine first when the occasion begins. But when men are drunk and they don't know the difference between good and bad, original wine and stale wine, they just bring the stale one. People are drinking, they don't know again because they are already drunk. But that scripture said, for that master of ceremony, he said, he has reserved the best for the last. But you understand that it was not in the power of the person doing the marriage. He himself was helpless. Am I correct? It was because Jesus stepped into that marriage, all right, that made the experience to be like that. The best. And I'm praying for anyone listening to this teaching that as we have stepped into the month of September, Jesus will step into our lives. Jesus will step into our businesses. He will step into our academics. He will step into our career. He will step into our ministries. He will step into our finances. He will step into our jobs. Because as he steps in there, he will give us the best of experiences. In the name of Jesus. You will look back. You know, there is a way God can bless you. That the blessing of yesterday, you know, somebody said sometimes ago, he said, there is a blessing that makes you to forget poverty. Am I correct? But can I tell you also that there is a blessing that makes you forget prosperity? The blessing that makes you to forget poverty is understandable. That you are so blessed that you forgot that you were once poor. But can I say also that there is a blessing that makes you forget prosperity? What do I mean? Because when you pray that God will bless people in such a way that they will forget poverty, it doesn't make sense to them because they are not poor. Can you tell Dangote or big guys, Bishop Oyedepo and all of them, and say, God will bless you that you will forget what your poverty looks like in 2019? He will not say amen because he is not poor. Or they are not poor. But can you imagine they entering a dimension of blessing that made them forget what their wealth looked like in 2019? That means in 2029, God has so much turned their life around, they didn't understand what it meant to have been wealthy in 2019. And that's the plan of God for us. That you forget what it looks like to be once good, because the things of God are not from bad to good. It's from good to better. Amen. Of course, if you are from the bad before, it moves you to good. Then it moves you from good to better. Am I correct? It moves you from better to better to better. I thought somebody we want to say it moves you from good to better to best. No. It moves us from good to what? To better. Better. To better. It doesn't move us to best yet, because our best is yet to come. Amen. I said amen. It moves us from what? From good to better and better and better and better and better. And when you think, oh, this is the best, God says, no, there is something ahead. So he keeps moving us from what? Better to better. Then, when our life here is finished on earth, or when Christ comes, then our best comes. So my best is yet to come. My best will never come until I exit this planet Earth, or until I'm about to exit this planet Earth. My best will only come until when Christ comes. So no matter the level of success somebody might be experiencing today, understand that there is always something more. People limit their progress in life when they stop becoming hungry for more. Somebody say hungry for more. Because what you are celebrating as success today, before somebody else, is not success. So people that must succeed with success must avoid what I call arrival syndrome or arrival mentality or sense. Some people have arrival mentality. They think that they have arrived.
whether in finance, whether in career, somebody can be a professor and say, what am I still looking for? There is something to look for beyond being a professor. There's something to look for. Because if you don't understand this, you might think that, of course, they tell us that that person has reached the peak of his career. That might look like a simple statement, but it is not totally correct. What they mean is this. If somebody now is working with Zenith Banks and becomes the chairman or the GMD of Zenith Bank, so we say that in the banking industry, he has reached the peak of his career as far as banking is concerned. He can't be a branch manager again. Am I correct? Maybe he started from being a teller. From there, he moves to being a supervisor. From there, he moves to being a branch manager. From there, he moves to being an area manager. From there, he moves to being a regional manager. From there, he moves to become a director. He goes to a point that he became the number one. Am I correct? In that bank. So they say that he has reached the peak of his career. Sincerely, he has not reached the peak of his career. Amen. I said amen. Because there is always something more. Somebody who is the GMD of Zenith Bank today can become the CBN governor. Am I correct? There's still something more than being GMD of a bank. That is being the CBN governor. Am I correct? Am I correct? Somebody with CBN governor can say, what am I waiting for? He can become the president of the African Bank. Do you understand? From there, he can become deputy president of World Bank. Am I correct? From being deputy president of World Bank, he can become the president of World Bank. Somebody can say, okay, being the president of World Bank, that is the best. No! Being the president of World Bank is not the best. Somebody say, Pastor, tell me what then is the best. There is something more. Amen. I said amen. Because there are several presidents of World Bank, but he can stand out among them. He can stand out. He can stand out. Then in generations to come, somebody will know that this one is not just the president of World Bank. There was something he did with it. For example, somebody can be president of Nigeria and say he has reached the peak of it. He has not reached the peak of his career. Hallelujah. And the same thing in every other profession. Somebody can become the headmistress of his school and say, that's the best. That's not the best, though. That's not the best. And you know, I told us some couple of services ago that in every field, there is always the top in every field. Somebody can be a teacher now and say, can just become the head of my school or the owner of the school. I think there is Minister of Education. In case you think that me, I'm into education, Minister of Education, you don't know what you are doing. Because I'm in education, so my own is there's something always more. Am I not occurred to you before that if God has called you into education, if you have never dreamt of becoming a minister of education, you don't know what you are doing. I'm telling you. So some people, once they become principal of a secondary school, what am I looking for? You have not done anything at all. Some become the vice chancellor of a university. They say, what else again? A vice chancellor of university is looking to succeed with success. Even though their plot is very high, that this man is the best VC we ever have, he should not go and sleep. Because beyond becoming the best VC, he can become a minister of education. There are two different levels. A vice chancellor takes instruction from education. Am I correct? And beyond becoming the minister of education, there is something more again. Hallelujah. Praise God. The same thing in fashion. So I know I have a calling into fashion. The way you are seeing the calling is sewing for your friends. You can do beyond sewing for your friends. You can do beyond sewing for your friends. There are some people that are dressing dignitaries, senators. I'm sure you know that the governor of Ondo State does not sew his cloth by himself. Am I correct? Somebody sows it for you. Hallelujah. Somebody was saying some time ago, said, of course, the governor of this state baptized somebody Am I correct? The governor of this state, Babs, is here. Somebody Babs it for him. That's a level. Say me, I have a calling into Babi. That's one level. Understand? Somebody is Babi. If Buhari Babs is here, which I believe he does. Amen. If Donald Trump Babs is here, which I believe he does. Somebody Babs it for him. Am I correct? Somebody can say, I want to develop myself in this Babbing ministry, in quotes, that I will one day be invited to the White House to have the escorts for whoever will be president at that time. That's one level. So one reason why people do not succeed with success is that they have what I call an arrival mentality or syndrome. They think that they have arrived. Alright, they think that they have gotten the best that they could ever get. Praise the Lord. And that's why vision is very important. Somebody say vision. Because what you don't imagine, you cannot imagine. What you don't imagine, you cannot what? Imagine. What you don't imagine, I-M-A-G-I-N-E, you cannot what? Imagine. So anybody who must succeed with success, number one, I said, must avoid arrival mentality. All right, number two, must have vision. Jeremiah 1:11-12. The Bible spoke about to Jeremiah. He said, son of man, what do you see? Son of man, what do you see? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. He said, you have seen well because I wasted my word to perform. So vision is important. And when people say they have vision, what they have is not vision. Because one thing that vision will do for you is that it will make you to be dissatisfied with your present level. That's what vision will make you to do. You'll be dissatisfied. Any vision that put a full stop on your progress is not vision. In fact, one way in which you know that you are a man of vision is that as you progress in the journey of purpose and success, the vision keep getting brighter. So any vision that you have, that you get to a junction that you think you have achieved all there is to your vision, is really not the vision we are talking about. Hallelujah. Think you have arrived? So the more you make progress, when Baba Adeboye began to expand the redemption camp, if you hear his story very well, all right, when people thought that Baba, this one is too much, they said, no, this is not even where we are going. Amen. I'm sure you know that there are tents now at the redemption camp. It will soon give way for a bigger one, according to the man of God. Hallelujah. It will soon give way, because as you walk with God, it begins to open your eyes to see more. It begins to open your eyes to see more. It begins to open your eyes to see more as you walk with God. So one way to know that you are walking with God is that your vision is getting enlarged day by day. Because God is a God of vision. How do I know that you are walking with God? Your vision is getting enlarged day by day. And can I quickly sound this note of warning? Don't allow the environment to kill your vision. Don't allow your background to suffocate your vision. Don't allow your circumstance to kill your vision. Don't allow your association to kill your vision. Don't allow temporary failure to kill your vision. I've mentioned five things. Number six, don't allow present success to kill your vision. So what are the killers of vision? Number one, the environment. You can be in an environment where nobody is dreaming. Nobody is saying something wonderful. Everybody is just satisfied with where, let's just collect our 12,000 naira in this school or in this workplace and just, what are we looking for again? If you belong to that kind of environment where everybody is talking negative, everybody is talking about their stomach, amen? Well, you know, you can be in business and what people are talking about in your business space is their stomach. You will not see reasons to dream bigger or big. So avoid a killer of vision called the environment. Hallelujah. And sometimes you may have to get yourself away from vision killing environments. And I will explain it in these two forms. Number one, you may have to get yourself away from the geography of the environment. Number two, you may have to get yourself away from the influence of the environment. There are sometimes that you have the opportunity to get out of the geography. I mean the location. You can resign from a job because it's a job that is full of mediocres. You can pack out of a house because that house is full of people who are going nowhere. You can get yourself out of a church because that church looks like a church. Even from the top leadership, nobody is saying something better. Your pastor stands in your front and says, you know, we are all struggling. Get out of that church. That's not the kind of church for you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So every environment that kills your vision, you don't have the divine permission to continue to stay there. And it's not by force. So you need to get out of environment that kills what? Visions. And I said, sometimes you may have to get out of there in geographical sense. That means you live there practically. And there are sometimes you may not be able to live there geographically, but you can decide to get out of the influence that environment is having on your life. And that means that, number one, you will not pay attention, all right, to what it is that the environment is trying to sell to you. Then number two, you will create your own environment. But that is the main thing. It's not enough to not pay attention, because you see, better, it's not what you are not paying attention to alone, but what you are paying attention to. Say, pastor, me, I'm not listening to them, but what are you listening to? Because whether you like it or not, what you are not paying attention to will soon catch up with you if you don't have something else you are paying attention to. Did you get what I said? So I said one way to get out of an environment that is killing your vision, if not in geographical terms, is to get out of that environment or get out of the influence of that environment. So number one, by ensuring that you don't pay attention, all right, to what that environment is trying to sell to you. Then number two is to ensure that you create your own environment. You can be in the same environment with every other people or person, but you are operating in a different environment. Hallelujah. And that's what the Bible meant by saying we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Am I correct? That's what the Bible meant by saying that we are in the world. We can't get up except you want to go and meet Jesus. Amen. Say, pastor, I'm tired of this world. The environment is limiting, it's killing my vision. I want to get out of this world. Jesus will be welcoming you home. We cannot get out of this world. But the Bible says, even though we are in the world, am I correct? But we are not of this world. That means the environment that we are functioning by is not dictated by this worldly environment, but by another environment elsewhere. Praise the Lord. And that's why Romans 12, 1 to 2, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Am I correct? Don't be what? Conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the world system is an environment, and the word, WORD, the world system is another environment. So it's either you are conforming to the world or you are conforming to the word. I said the world system is an environment, and the word, WORD, is an environment. So that means that the word can create an environment for me that I'm functioning by. Hallelujah. Don't forget that statement that I said your life does not succeed because you are not paying attention to the negative alone. Your life succeeds because even though you are not paying attention to the negative, you must have a positive somewhere that you are paying attention to. Because if you are not paying attention to the negative and you are still not paying attention to the positive, it's a matter of time. The negative you are not paying attention to will soon catch up with you. Because life forbids vacuum. Do you understand? This world. Somebody said, pastor, me, I'm not going to be of this world. But are you of the world? If you are not of the world, you will automatically be of the world. It's a matter of time. Hallelujah. So if you are not of the world, WORD,
you will automatically be of the, you will eventually be of the world. It's a matter of time.
So I said, beware of six things that can kill a man's vision, your environment. So get out of every limiting environment. Maybe you are listening to this this morning. You are where you are today, 8 months gone already in the year 2019 because of the wrong environment. You say, Pastor, it's because I cannot help it. Listen to me, you can help it. Amen. I said, amen. You can be teaching him in a mushroom school, but you have a world-class mentality. Did you get what I said? You can be pastoring in the village and you have a global mindset. You can be doing business as Ojaoba, but you have a Dubai mentality kind of sense. You can be in a family of mediocres. People are causing trouble here and there, but you have the mentality of a prime minister. You have the mentality of a king. So nobody should rise up or wake up and say, Pastor, it's because I cannot help it. Listen to me, you can help it. Because the power to create your world is in your hand. Amen. And I wish I would go into this, but time will not allow me. You know, even our geographical world is created by the word of God. Am I correct? Hebrews 11, he said by from verse, I think verse 3 or thereabout. They said by faith we understand that the world were created by the what? By the word of God. So I can create my own world by the word. Did you get what I said? I can create my own world by the word. So if you are far from God's word, forget it. This word is going to submerge you into its whatever. Praise God. Was it NIV or Amplified or a message Bible that was saying about that Romans chapter 12? He said, don't let this word squeeze you into its own mold. Don't let this word, squeeze you into its own mold. So when God was giving the principle of success for Joshua, he said, this book of the law must not depart out of your mouth. And you meditate in it day and night and all of that. Praise God. So, six things that kills. Maybe I will give you seven of them. Amen. I said, your environment. Number two, your background. Your what? Your background. I'm sure you have heard before now that you must not let your background put your back on the ground. Hallelujah. People's background kills their vision. They look at where they are coming from, they say, like they say in my language, it is inside a black pot that white pap normally comes out. Amen. Amen. If you will judge the color of a pap by the color of where it is being cooked from, you may not believe it. How can a pap be very white? Not maybe not very white, but at least white. And it's coming out of a black pot. So it does mean that where I am coming out from does not have to determine where I'm going to. Did you get that? Because people's background, they look at themselves, and that's why we must not let our background supply vision for us. If you come from a background where nobody goes to school, university, you will think that becoming a graduate is the best that can ever happen to you. Becoming a graduate is not good, but it's not the best for you. In fact, you become a champion in your family because nobody from your ancestry has ever become what? You know, there's a pseudo vision you can have that is not the real vision. Because there are some people that their background does not make them to even have vision at all. While there are some that their background, they still have vision, but it's a limited vision. And that's the most dangerous one. Because the one that does not have a vision at all is already failing. So, since he's failing, he has reason to be helped. Did you get what I said? But the person who is having vision but a limited vision will be achieving some level of success that makes him feel as if he does not need help. Did you get what I said? So, it is worse to have a limiting vision than not to have a vision at all. Because the person that has no vision at all, we fail. And that failure will prompt him to look for solution to his life. But the person that has a limiting vision will make some silly little progress that makes him feel as if he doesn't need anything again. For example, I told you, somebody whose background there has never been a graduate, is either he does not aspire to become anything at all. He lives a wretched and dejected life. God will still come through to him by the mercy of God. Alright. There can be another person that because of that, I have a vision for my life. At least let me break this jinx. Have you heard people say that before? Let me break this. You are not just being called to break family jinx alone. You have been called to fulfill your destiny. You get what I said? Say, let's break this jinx. What is this jinx? Nobody ever bought a car in my family. After you bought a car, you have not yet arrived. Because you have never been called to buy a car. You have been called to become your best. Did you get what I said? So anybody that's ever married before, in my family, all the female, they normally go to collect pregnancy. So me, I want to make sure I do proper wedding. Okay, after you have done proper wedding, what next? Because you have not been called to do proper wedding alone. You have been called to fulfill proper purpose. So now that he is now a graduate, he feels after all, I have achieved what nobody has achieved in my lineage. God hasn't called you to achieve alone, to only achieve what no man has ever achieved in your lineage. He has called you to achieve the best that he has in mind for you. May you get there. In the name of Jesus. Did you get something from what I just said now? Limiting vision. Number three is what? Your association. Proverbs 13 verse 20. Say that works to be wise, you become wise. Say a companion of fools shall be greatly destroyed. When you have in your association, relationship, people don't have vision. And it's painful or it's disheartening to see Christians who have... See, all these things I'm sharing, a lot of us are victims of that. I know what I'm saying. If you talk about association now, an average church-minded Christian feels that I understand. Yes. But his association is affecting him. But because of this religious mindset, association, I understand. My association must not affect me, yes. But it's affecting him. It's not only to say that I understand. Sit down and ask yourself, am I correct? In what way is my association affecting me? But one of the biggest problems of the church is I know. Amen. That one of the biggest problems of the church is I know. It's not about I know, it's I do. Say I do. Because as I'm talking now, what I'm saying is not new to a lot of you. Say I know, my association must not affect me, but it's affecting you, me. That's why I'm saying it. So don't leave this service and say, oh, I know. It's not that I know. Go back home and go and ask yourself, what are my association, what is the influence or impact of my association upon my life? Don't just say I know. But don't even go and repeating or retweeting the teaching. I say I know. Check your family members. Check your friends, your colleagues. Check your neighbors, even church members. Not everybody is going to heaven. Amen. I said amen. Not everybody is keen at fulfilling purpose. And you are still company with such people. It will limit how far you are. Will go. Don't forget Genesis 13. The Bible says God said to Abraham after Lot separated from him, lift up now your eyes and what? And look. You know, the vision of Abraham improved when Lot left. There are two kinds of vision that God gave Abraham. We normally say it this way, the seashore kind of vision, alright, and the star seed kind of vision. You know, there was a time the Bible, God took him to the shore and he said, count the number of what? If you can count the sands or something like that, so shall his hand be. That's one level. But Lot was still with him. But the minute the Lord left him, God said, look up. I'm giving you another vision that is not just about the sand of decision. Hallelujah. You know what that means? You know what that means? The seashore kind of vision says your offspring are going to be numerous, but they may not be stars. Do you get what I said? Do you get what I said? They can be numerous, but they may not shine. But when God said, look to the heaven, he is giving you two things. Number one, there will be plenty. Number two, there will be stars. But how will he have assessed that level of vision if not that Lot left him? In case you are saying, Pastor, I have vision for my life, there is still something bigger you should have seen.
If only you can get into the right association or allow the wrong association to live your life. Number four is what? Failure can kill vision. Say, Pastor, why should we dream again? Even the one that we dreamt yesterday, it failed like anything.
Don't allow failure to make you. You know, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus told Peter, he said, launch into the deep for what? For a great catch. Am I correct? Peter said, we have told all the nights. So the failure was keeping him from accessing the next level. I know you have failed. There's nobody that has not failed before. But the truth of the matter is, you are never a failure. Failure is an event, it's not a person. Failure is what? Say, Pastor, I know. Don't you see, say, I know. Say, I do. Praise God. Say, I do. Failure! Say, I've done it before. It did not work. So Peter was giving Jesus that kind of message. We have thought all the night, though. He said we should try again. And you know, what baffled me is that most of the time, when you fail, God sometimes can ask you to do something more. Do you get what I said? That's one mysterious thing about God. Somebody applied to a local school and they didn't pick him, and God said, apply to a school abroad. That's what the way God operates sometimes. Peter toyed all through the night. It means that he did what he needed to do when it should have been done. Because in the law of fishing, the best of fishes come in the night. Is that not? But now the day has broken. Amen. Obviously, success is not in view. Because all the fishes have retired to their base. Nobody is coming, no fish is coming up again. So number one, Jesus told Peter to do the right thing at a seemingly wrong time. Number two, Jesus said, launch into the deep. That means go deeper. Amen. So don't let failure keep you back from success. Number what now? I've given you five. Number five is success itself. Success can make a man not to have vision again. And that's the... If I'm to start this teaching, this is where I should start it from. All right. Success can make a man not to have vision again. When he's super successful, say, what are we still waiting for? We're looking for. But know that success is a journey. It's not a destination. Success is what? You know, in leadership, we say success without a successor is a failure. That is not only talking about a personality. It's talking about the results. That means if my success does not have a successor, that success is a failure. Because if you say success is a failure, we normally look at it in the form of positional leadership. That if you are a leader now, if you don't have anybody to what? To succeed you. No. It also means that your success, if your success does not have a successor, that success is a failure. So it means that after you think you have succeeded and another success does not come, that success is a failure. So beware of success transmitted diseases. Beware of what? There are a lot of them, but time will fail me to talk about that. Pride is one of them. Complacency is one of them. But one of them that relate to my sharing this morning is one of the success transmitted diseases is the disease of not catching a vision for the next level. Are you following me? It's a success transmitted disease. So success can make a man not to have vision, and that's celebrate some of our fathers in the faith. When I see their dream, said yes, they are doing. Do you understand? Somebody built 50,000. When Bishop Oedeko 50,000, we thought that am I correct? But you know, he's building something bigger now. Am I correct? Even before somebody built 100-seater in Abuja, he had already started talking about something bigger. He could have said, and you know, and in those days it was Guinness Book of Record. Am I correct? Because there is no bigger auditorium in the world. But you know, if he's resting on his oars now, somebody has broken that record, 100-seater, and that one is the biggest now. Do you understand? Praise God. So he's talking about 150 now. Or you'll be talking about 150 now. But you know, it's not complete. Anytime the devil attacks you with the fear of failure, alright, tell the devil, what if I succeed? Then the fear of the unknown. Vision talks about where you don't know. And there is a natural fear in the heart of an average human being about what they don't know. But we may not know tomorrow, but we know the person that holds tomorrow. That's God. God can tell an Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, get out of your father's house into a land that I will show you. Abraham, the Bible said in Hebrews 11, that Abraham departed not knowing where he was going. But can you imagine Abraham still sleeping back at home and say, God, I have this fear. I don't know how it will look like. He would not have become the father of faith that we are talking about today. So the fear of the unknown. Hallelujah. The last attack is the fear of man. Say the fear of man. The fear of man. You must give yourself permission to succeed. An attack of the devil, because when somebody has vision and does not have provision, he becomes discouraged. He goes to throw the vision away. It's an attack, but don't fall for that attack, because in the kingdom, provision comes after vision. Vision comes before provision. We don't wait for provision before we catch vision. We catch vision before, and provision comes afterwards. Lord, I come against every attack of the devil, against my vision, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Father, we receive this word with thanksgiving. I stand as your servant today. May this word not just become a teaching, let it become a grace upon every one of your people. Move everyone from success to success, from glory to glory. I come against every attack of the devil against our vision. Whatever attack it is, today they come to an end. Today we are baptized with vision. We are baptized with capacity to fulfill our destiny. It is well with us. And everyone listening to this teaching, this morning who is not born again, Lord, I ask, O God, you withdraw them to yourself. As they made Jesus their Lord and Savior, I declare the old of sin is broken in their lives. For all of us say, our success will know no bound. And so shall it be.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.destinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers: 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering in destinies. Jesus is Lord.